CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, folks, good morning. Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, brought to you by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. Monday morning, great weekends ahead by all, and a cracking show lined up today, my man. Teppo, what's happening, bro?
I'm easy. I see cricket is doing lovely there.
Yeah, we just need two more wickets, I see. I'm starting to get nervous because the last thing we need now is a draw because the Aussies will take it as a win. Chad, how are you, bud?
All right, yourself?
Yeah, fantastic, man. Fantastic, okay. fantastic. So, like we usually say, if you follow the show, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA, and remember to use our hashtag and use our hashtag.
A little bit of Sean Conrad there.
Hashtag AutoCentral.
It's an Ish Monday.
Yeah, cool, man. So gents, I think today we're just gonna wax lyrical about road tripping. I just thought, the holidays are coming up. We spoke about the crazy season, you know. Guys are starting to, I think, what's it, seven Fridays left until Christmas.
The years of 2016 is gone, bro.
Nearly gone. For good.
Jeez. Hey?
Yeah. It's been a roller coaster year,
it's
2016.
Unbelievable, eh?
Have you had a good one?
Look, if 2016 goes, can it go with Jay-Z?
I hope so.
Can we like get him into a fast car and drive like a self-driving car that goes very far?
Maybe what we can do as part of this is I think at the end we can plan the perfect road trip for Jason. We'll tell people what car he's in and where we're sending him.
Well, just to summarize, I mean, it's a long drive off a very short road.
Long drive off a very short road.
Even off the cliff. he needs a 25-seater, but he's got wives.
No, but we're not sending the whole family, just him.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not disgruntled with them.
No, all good. So, what makes the perfect road trip? I was thinking,
what makes it worse? Like, what makes the worst road trip? Like, the don'ts.
No, well, let's do the do's first.
Don't travel in an unair-conditioned minibus at the back.
Chad, that's not fair. You know,
not a road trip. That's just traveling.
No, but we've been doing that all our lives, some of us, you know. The taxi didn't come with air conditioning.
That's just the norm. So my four key pointers to planning the perfect road trip.
Yeah.
Number one, obviously the vehicle that you're in. And we can touch on that.
I mean, how many you are, who actually is traveling,
who,
the vehicle,
the road you take,
yeah.
the people that you're with, mm-hmm. and your destination.
Yeah.
That for me is the road trip.
No. I'm going to change that up a bit. I am going to change that up.
Yeah.
It's not the destination.
Well, it's getting to the
journey.
No, the destination doesn't count. That's not the road trip. That's not part of it. You know, if you're going on holiday, yes, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to get to the destination. But sometimes that can overshadow the drive.
I think...
Or that can detract away. Let me put it that way. It almost distracts you from enjoying the drive because you're so excited to get to this wonderful destination.
We were brought up that the holiday starts the moment you close that car door.
Yeah, when you get into the car.
As soon as you're in the car, that's the holiday's begun. Even if you land up sitting in traffic, enjoy it because you're just chilling. Yeah. You know, you're not... It's the holiday has started.
Yeah, but a lot of that is also, once again, it goes back to point number one. The car.
Yes.
What vehicle you're using.
The budget. How much money did you save?
Because if you're sitting in the back of an Isuzu with a canopy on, you know, it doesn't start the moment that hatch closes. It starts the moment you climb out of it.
Once again, look, I grew up in a 1400 long wheel overhead cam Datsun Bucky.
Nice.
Right? And it's the six of us. My mom, my dad, and my two brothers, myself and my sister. Now, when you go to Rustenburg, they put a sponge at the back of that long wheel base.
Mattress.
And then we've got like pap nyana, not McDonald's or chips, no,
it's on a pap.
Pap nyana and rice nyana there, and maybe you built on sohwapa.
Yeah.
There, And then sometimes we'd have that uncle who sits with us at the back.
But that's
and
lucky.
That's lucky. I mean,
exactly. I don't care how hot it is. Open those windows and you're talking cuck in the back of the bucket and you're eating and you're doing your
and
thing.
And it's far to the middle of nowhere and you must slide that little canopy window.
Just sneak your nose out.
Look, then it was nice. But when I think about it, I'm like, I can't believe I enjoyed such. But it was lucky, you know.
At the time, yes. As a youngster, yes.
But that's the thing.
Are you going to endure
memories?
A 10-hour drive
are
now
you
like
mad?
That? Exactly. It's exactly. We've changed.
Well, it depends who's in the back of the bucky.
Yeah, I get into
the back
of
the bucky. Exactly. Well, but listen.
And who's okay. with me at the back
no,
of
but
the
even
bucky.
If it's an old, dilapidated piece of crap that you're traveling in, it's like the car does make it. Look, the car can either make or break the road.
There better be beer then. If I'm in the back of the bucky and there's a sponge and there's no aircon and it's a crap bucky, there better be some cold cooler box with beer.
For sure.
Yeah. Now you're talking. Let's go anywhere then, guys.
But you're not allowed to actually drink in the back of. You're not allowed to drink, even if you're not driving.
Open containers in a vehicle.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
You're not allowed to.
Hey, we've been breaking rules, eh? Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, that's just the way things are done in this country. Like,
geez, we've been breaking rules, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, these uncles will come with in those beers wrapped in, like, brown paper.
Yeah,
like thing.
Why do you think it's wrapped in brown?
Yeah.
So that you can't make out that it's a beer.
Yeah. Yeah,
but, I mean, as pointless as that is, because nobody's going to wrap their Coke like that. So, if it's in brown paper, it must be liquor.
Hey, look, with these ciders, you know, I've got this naughty friend. You know, they've got those covers, Miss.
Yes.
And these ciders are quite nicely bottled. And they, so he
like
rips
your spirit
the
coolers
seal,
or whatever. Yeah,
he rips the seal off, and this bottle just looks like it's a water bottle.
Yeah. And like, that you see, that's...
Criminal. That's illegal.
It's criminal and illegal, but it's ingenious and daring, you know? So points for ingenuity, South African ingenuity there.
I can't believe you called it ingenious. And So you don't care what kind of car it is?
Look, I think...
No, the car does. The car counts. Hey.
It just depends who you're with. So, like, if I'm going away with, let's say, my wife and my kids,
then I put you in a 1400 bike, 2011 model.
I'll put all three of them in the back and I'll cruise in the front. There we go.
You know what I think it is? It's matching all of those points of yours.
Yes.
And I'd want to change your fourth point, the destination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To the music.
The music. Okay.
The entertainment, the music. Yeah. The company counts, the music that you listen to, the road you drive, and the car you drive it in. Okay, because, I'm sorry, there's not much that is worse than being on a great road in the wrong car.
Yeah.
Look, or being in a great car on the wrong road.
No, I hear you. But listen, if you're going to road trip, I mean, I think most people would have a destination that they get into.
Yeah, you're getting
to. And I think that is what the excitement is built around. But getting to that destination, we did a road trip couple of years ago, and our final destination was Cape Town, but it took us, you know, 10-15 days to get there, you know, because we
you had a jaw along
no
the way.
And that's the thing. So for me, I just wanted to get in the car and drive, and when you decide at whatever time it is, okay, cool, we need to find somewhere to stay, then you look at what's in the nearest, you know, what's in the vicinity.
Heavens forbid having to stay in Beaufort.
No, listen. You know, we stayed in some good places and we stayed in some not so good places.
Look, when we travel, we a friend of mine bought this extended 6-seater Jeep with this extra loading bin at the back.
Yeah,
nice.
And we broke the rules. He's into tourism and tour guides and stuff. Mm. So we knew that driving and roads. And then he purposely took all the horrible roads because the car could handle it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our wives were not quite enjoying because it got a bit freaky for them. And when we did that high rise, that highest point in what's that place there by the, I'll tell you now. I remember. I think it's by Lesotho or something.
Sony.
Yes, Pass, yes. Yeah. And I mean, just going there was amazing because this guy would give you facts about everything. Because this guy wouldn't really go very fast, and he would tell us about what we see on the left and the right. But he's got humor for days.
Yeah.
So for me, you must be going with people who are good with humor, but they must know when to keep quiet. Because you don't want somebody who's going to talk from here to Devon.
Just talk from here to Devon. Jesus, no, you're going mad. Yeah.
And then music, yes, I agree.
Yeah, I agree with Chad. I think music is really, really important.
Also, it's important who's sitting next to you in the driver's seat. You don't want people who will be chilling here and then on their WhatsApp the whole time.
Do you want to drive when you're doing a road trip?
I enjoy, man. Yeah. But I also want to know that there are people who I can trust that can also drive when fatigued.
Yeah, so you just swap
because
it up a bit.
Because then you don't want to end up with someone who's stubborn on the wheel and they're fatigued and they don't want to say, or they're not even brave enough to say, let's pull over and just have a rest, you know?
Yeah. Are you a different traveler if you were going away with 10 chanas? Who's that Chad and Teppo versus Chad and Chip, Chad and Teppo when you with the
family
Sad Sad and Teppo.
Sad and Teppo.
When you, that sounds like a great show. It's the Sad and Teppo show. No, are you a different traveller? When you're with your wife and your kids, you're obviously
absolutely
different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And,
stuff. Oh,
and yeah, then if you're with the boys.
Oh, no, that's debauchery right there. I mean,
different story.
Some of the things we do, guys, I've never said this, and I'm not saying this, and I will never say this again.
But there is a likelihood that this could happen, correct? If you were to be in one of these positions, you may be inclined to.
If you've spotted a bunch of guys alongside some open field road somewhere, when we take a leak, we drop our pants completely off.
And all down trout.
And the hooters with cars going past. It is such one of those beautiful things. My wife finds it very disgusting. But, I mean, we do that only with boys, obviously.
Yeah. No, you do. And you're going to behave slightly differently. And the conversation is going to be different. And you're going to be a little more mischievous.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to – I don't want to say you're going to be not as concerned about everybody's safety, but you're going to be – more inclined to have a little bit of fun. I don't want to say risk-taking, but you're just going to be a little more adventurous.
To be boys.
You know, you'd be more inclined to, and yes, I've noticed it. I mean, I do quite a bit of traveling with Lawrence when we go out and we're filming or doing launches or whatever, and it's different driving with him than when driving with the family or something. Mm, yeah. You know, you sit there and you go, heck, this looks interesting. I'm going to stop you.
Yeah.
And we're just going to look at this. And we can sit there, and because the interests are aligned, we sit there and we go, okay, yeah, this is nice. I can't even remember. It's not Lichtenberg. Lichtenberg's up here. Liensberg has got down to the Cape. There's a little museum there about the flood that happened. And they're showing you where the flood water was up to, and there's a little museum and how many people were lost, how many lives were lost when this flooded and that. Usually you just blink and you're straight through it.
True.
And we were like, well,
I blame fast cars for that.
Yeah.
When you drive
it's
fast
nice
cars,
to take the road less traveled.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, if you can, if you are doing a road trip, don't jump on the highway.
No.
Rather take the roads that wind. Because you do. That's where I think road tripping is about discovery.
Yeah.
So, when you enter the road. It's about the road.
Yeah.
And and finding these little towns. And I did a bike ride in 2003 where I actually rode my bicycle across the country from the most northern tip of South Africa to the most southern tip.
Jeez, how come you're only telling me that now, buddy?
I don't know. But
I'm so proud of you,
and
man.
That essentially was a road trip, but we were on bicycles. And what you take in when you're traveling slower. So on a bicycle, you can only go so fast.
Yeah.
Just this country has got so much to offer. And I don't think South Africans we don't explore South Africa enough.
That's true. Now, Ty, I've got a bunch of videos on our YouTube channel, which is our road trip reviews, where we take the car on a long drive and we go and review it.
Yes.
Often down to the coast. We did the one where we went and we did an economy run. Joburg to Cape Town on one tank in a V8 VW Touareg.
What?
Yeah, no, that's a whole epic road trip that we did. And while that one was more sticking to the N1, what I've always maintained, and just about each and every one of them, I encourage people to turn off of the main arterials. Get off that highway. That highway is engineered for our freight and for transport and that sort of thing, so that it can get from point A to point B as quickly and efficiently as possible. Do you know how much beauty it bypasses?
Yeah.
You got to try, and if you're going to do a trip down to KZN, try not to use the N3.
Yeah.
If you're going to go down to Cape Town, try not to use the N1. You know, yes, bargain on that this is going to take you twice, maybe three times as long. But that's part of the adventure.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best fun and the most amazement, the most sort of awe-inspiring moments that I've had have been from deviating off the ends.
Yeah.
On the way back from that massive Cape Town journey, sat there, Lawrence was passed out in the car, and it's okay.
Sleeping or passed out? There's a difference.
Sleeping. No,
okay.
Sleeping.
Okay.
Sleeping. No. It was all work. I mean, we drove through a long drive and turn around and drive back. It's a bit of a challenge. But getting into the Free State, sat there just after Colesberg and said, well, I know that there's a town that's actually named Lukoff.
Lukoff?
Yes. I mean, my surname's Lukoff.
Oh,
and there's a town called Lukoff, and I think it's my great-great-grandfather that founded it somewhere along the line. I don't know the exact heritage and history of it. But I thought, well, let's see how far it is, because I'm now in the Free State. Let's see if it is, you know, a massive detour. And quickly pulled over and went and checked maps, and I was like, well, the turnoff for that is in like 3 kilometers.
Hmm.
and it's just a small little detour. It's going to add maybe 2 hours to our overall time. We can do that. And we ventured off. We weren't 3 minutes off the N1, and I stopped the car in the middle of the road. In the middle of the road. That's how dead quiet it was. I climbed out of that car, and there was, when I say complete, I mean complete silence. You couldn't hear a bug, a bird, the wind, nothing. Complete and utter silence. Mm. We were in the middle of nowhere, and that, right there, with this pencil stripe running through what was essentially just mass grassland. I just sat there and I was like, this is amazing. This is a silence that I've almost never experienced before. Deafening. A deafening silence, as they would say.
Yeah.
And had I not just turned off to go and explore...
You would have missed it.
I would have missed it. Mm, I would have missed the beautiful Vanderkloof Dam, which is a beautiful dam with one of our highest dam walls. We would have missed the likes of... There is, of course, the town of Lukhof, which, I mean, beautiful town, actually. Actually, no, it makes Zeros look like a... like a metropolis.
I did not know you were going to go there.
Yeah, no, that's it. Look off this. I was like a little disappointed, not going to lie. You know, it's like 3 blocks long and that's all that's really tarred. And a block either way. After that, it's just dirt. And it's, there's a one goat tied to a tree.
You've heard about this goat before.
But you know what? Every town's got it. You know, another thing about traveling in South Africa is our roads are absolutely phenomenal. We don't have, like,
for
not
the most
for the most part. I reckon 80% of our roads are well kept and well maintained. And maybe not in the cities, but you're not going to road trip through the big cities. You know, you've got to get off that beaten track. We did that Auto Trader Car Love road trip in 2013, where we had a 1969. VW Combi, and we drove this thing from Joburg all the way to Cape Town through Bloem, Grahamstown. We did the garden route, and we just stopped in these little dorps. And what we wanted to explore was, what do South Africans resonate most with their vehicles? And you cannot believe the warmth of the people in our country and how they relate to their vehicles and what their vehicles enable them to do. And there's a host of videos and stuff that we produce, but that was really just a spectacular journey to go on. I got to drive the Combi by myself. We had a support crew, a film crew and all that kind of stuff. And it was just, sometimes driving alone is also absolutely fantastic. You know, when you're on the open road, the music off, in those Combi with the little flap windows that we spoke about. Exactly.
And that top speed of that thing is about like 100 k's an hour or something.
No, if you know how to drive a VW, you can push him to about 140.
With that thing?
Yeah.
No, it's bro.
I'm telling you.
Stuart,
I promise, you got to drive a VW hard. Sometimes you got to give it a bit of that right foot, you got to push it hard.
Yeah, and then you'll get that K
Dub.
But I mean, see, I think that's a secret. Nice, slow cars will give you a chance to explore and take in all this beautiful environment that this country has to offer. Because in these fast cars,
we've got such diversity.
Yes.
Such diversity. And a fast car doesn't have to be driven fast.
That's also true.
Knowing that it's fast makes the difference.
Yeah, because then you can get out of a sticky situation if you need to overtake a long truck or something.
Not so much even that. Just knowing that you've got the power underfoot, but you don't have to use it. You know, a small car on the other side
is a bit of a
can sometimes be a little bit of a hindrance, because you know, if you're wanting to go and really explore, you need to go out into the mountains and the hilly areas, and then sometimes you're sitting there and you're really struggling about making an overtaking maneuver or passing this truck that's only doing 10 k's an hour up there, and it sort of starts ruining it. You know, if you can get past that truck that's only doing 10 k's an hour, you free up some time to go and enjoy the road without being stuck behind this where you're constantly worried and focusing on the driving rather than enjoying the surroundings.
Yeah, the environment around
you. And the environment around you brings me to my next point. Do it in a convertible.
Yeah.
Do it in a convertible. Yeah. A sunroof does not count.
No.
Dropping your windows does not count.
Yeah, I think road tripping with the top off is...
does not count.
Talking of dropping windows, is it true that when you drive with your windows open, you use more fuel?
It is, yes.
Because then the car gets...
Correct, yeah. No, it creates more drag. It's not as aerodynamic and inefficient.
They did a thing on Mythbusters over a distance.
Yeah, over a distance, it is more...
It does. It causes a little bit more drag.
You're better off using your aircon rather than having your window open. Yeah. It really is. I mean, especially with modern aircon efficiencies, yeah. that, you know, you've got to sort of break a lot of the stigma around when air compressors, air conditioning compressors were really draining on the motor. And the motor wasn't making that much power. You've got cars, a little 1.4 was making 130, 140 kilowatts in there. Trust me, a little AC pump is hardly going to hurt it and hardly going to change the fuel efficiency of it. Motors
I hear you, and
so
I think that's from a comfort point of view. But, you know, you and I can't really talk from experience here, but there's something about having the windows down and have the wind, you know, rush through your hair.
Which, what hair, bro?
Yeah, well, exactly. But you know what I'm saying.
I know, so,
you know,
just having the only one with hair.
Yeah, you are, actually. But, you know, just having the wind in the car and, you know, the music's the music's full up and you
stick your hand once in a while.
Exactly,
out,
you know.
No, no, listen, it's a sensation. If that's all you've got, I'm not saying don't go and do it.
Yes.
But if you really want to go flat out.
Yeah.
Week before last, we had the Mercedes-Benz SLC 300. We spoke about it briefly. And Lawrence and myself took it out to
drop top,
yeah, folding tin top. So what they call the Vario roof, and we got to the point on the kept it closed for most of the way because it was N3. What's there to see on the N3? There really isn't. You know, Van Rienen's, and even that's not that exciting. Any case, so we drive down, we get to Harry Smith's side, and we decide that's time. You know, we got this car; it has its capability. Let's use it. Caps on, sunblock on. Drop the roof.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Let's go and enjoy it. And you see and you like riding a bike. And those that ride bikes and drive cars will be able to relate and say, you just absorb so much more of the surrounding when you're exposed to it on a bike. And it's the same when you drop the roof. Mm. So we've got a very, very interesting video coming on there where we're actually doing a little more travel-based than a review on the car. We went to a place that neither of us had ever been before, which was Clarence. And you take the R712 out to Clarence.
Yeah.
But we weren't there to go to Clarence.
Yes, you were just driving there.
We were going for the scenic route. Yeah. And there was a loop around there called the Blessbork Loop.
Okay.
That takes you to, it's a single little goat track, but the surface is surprisingly good. It's definitely not a racetrack.
Yeah.
But a nice little drive that takes you to a couple of fantastic vantage points.
Yeah.
Parts of Africa I had no idea existed.
Yeah. Sure.
It was constantly a drive of, oh my word.
Hmm.
Drive a little... Oh, my word.
Yeah, look at
constantly
that.
Constantly drive. Yes. Oh, my, that, and it was just these, oh, my God moments. Oh, my moments. Yeah. On and on and on. Yeah. Just the next one, better than the last. Yeah. Better than the last. Mm. And we sat there. And had we been in this tin top windows closed AC on, we would
have missed it.
We would have just driven around and said, yeah, that's cool, and gone away. So,
I don't know if you guys have seen, but the guys at Wheels 24 have actually put together a mini kind of road tripping 101 hub. Which, you know, and they unpack a lot of, there's a lot of information. And I just think, you know, we're talking about traveling in South Africa. You know, if you, there's mountain passes that you could, you know, that.
I mean, that speaks straight to me. I'm one for mountains. Don't give me the ocean. I've lost nothing in the sea. Give me the mountains.
You know, then there's, you know, waterfalls and natural rivers and springs and pools and stuff that you could, that you can go and see. There's gravel mountain passes. So you're not even on tar. Now you're on a.
Yeah, if you're into more the 4x4 and you've got a, you know, an off-road capable vehicle.
Yes.
I'm not going to say go and take your low-slung Mercedes Benz there.
No, for sure.
Gok, jaw.
You know, good luck. Yeah, exactly. And then there's also like the completely, you know, off the beaten track where you're going to be traveling like 25, 30 k's an hour because you're proper 4x4ing. But I mean, you know, there's something for everybody who wants to road trip in South Africa.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did you see that ad? There's a cell phone network ad with these four go-go's on a convertible Mercedes.
Yes, it's lovely. When they get stopped on the side of the road. Yeah, it's quite cute. But I mean, that's the thing.
And they go to waterfalls, little rivulets there.
Exactly.
They put their feet in there.
You know, you don't have to be a certain age to road trip.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those grannies in that Merc doing that kind of road trip would be different to how many millennials are road tripping.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are they putting into their road trips, how they're planning it, you know?
And look, I think what we really need to... Okay, for me, when I travel with my family, I really take away the tablets and the phones from my kids.
Yes.
Because then we can have these lovely chats when they ask all these sorts of questions. What is that? And, you know, because then if they're into phones
then
tablets,
you give that tablet to mom and dad so they can find the answer to the question. Am I right? Yeah. What's that over there? I'll tell you now, boy. Just hang on a second. Let me just Google it.
No, but we smart because we started the van. I wonder what it said in Zulu while you're thinking what it is.
Yes.
But then, I mean, like for instance, camping.
Yeah.
We only give them the tablets, say, 40 minutes into the drive for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then take them away.
Yes.
And then when we're at camp, they even forget about these things. So coming back, they forget completely because now they talk about their experience.
Yes.
So technology can also take off. I mean, I can switch my phone off for the entire week.
Me too.
And just enjoy.
Unplug. And that's what you actually need to do. You do need to actually properly unplug.
Yeah.
But listen, let's not deny that technology has made road tripping and adventuring and venturing off out of your comfort zone considerably easier, safer, and, you know, more readily accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the likes of your Google Maps and TripAdvisor and all that sort of stuff. On that trip.
Yes.
See, that you need.
You know, especially if you're doing a long one and a long, slow one and you're going and you're venturing.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the navigation. You're not going to get lost.
No.
You're not going to sit there and never find the highway again. Yes. If you panic, it'll get you there. You know, not a problem. Just don't.
That's true.
Okay, no, I'm not going to slate it here, but I prefer Google Maps over Apple Maps.
Okay.
Just saying. Apple Maps has let me down one too many times. Okay. It's taken me 30 Ks away from my destination.
3-0.
3-0.
Yes, like that.
And I'm talking about a trip that was only like supposed to be 10, 12 kilometers away.
But did you realize you were going in the wrong direction and you kind of question, like, you know, this? I'm sure this app's wrong, but I'm going to put my faith in the technology instead of your human instinct going, I'm traveling west and I should actually be going east.
You know what? It wasn't so polar. It was generally the right direction. Okay, so I was like, okay, maybe it knows a quicker way not a shorter way, but a quicker way.
Or a safer way instead. Sometimes it gives you the safer way.
A safer way. Okay, maybe the other ones, maybe it's backed up because of traffic or something of the sort. So, and then it says, you have reached your destination. I'm like, no, this is not my destination. I'm actually 30K. Why did this take so long? I was not impressed. But think about now, if you that long trip that you did, and you're sitting there, and now you need accommodation.
Yeah.
You know, here are my options of where to stay.
A filling station, you know, this, so then technology can come in very handy.
Emergency services, food, you know.
I was just talking social networks, like you.
Yeah,
you don't want to be now Twittering and...
No. You don't want to be on it like that. But use it as quite a, you know, an accurate tool or it can be an indispensable tool.
It's your fellow driver, man.
It is. I mean, it can be such an assistant, and especially if you're going with, nearby points of interest.
Yes.
And there's a couple of apps that are going to give you that. And so when you stop in a little town, you know, Kuruman or something of the sorts, you can sit there and you can find out what is interesting
in
and around. And you can find out about some
history. It'll give you a bottle
store. Yeah, probably, yes. And a drive-in.
It all starts there. But I think that's the thing, you know. And with obviously the technology and social media and all of those kind of things, you can get proper peer reviews, you know, people that have been to those towns, things that people have done and seen and experienced. And I think that's really cool. You know, you're not going to go onto kuruman.co.za and they're going to, you know, feed you information that they want to tell you. You'd rather get the info that, you know, fellow travelers have, you know, experienced and written about their experiences. I think if you wanted to do mountain passes, you've got to head to the Western Cape.
No.
There's one that Long Tom Pass in Mpumalanga.
Long Tom is beautiful. There's a couple out that way, hey?
Yeah, there are a couple out that way.
There's a good couple out in the Mpumalanga area and that.
Yeah. No, Mpumalanga is scenic, guys. It is absolutely
I love it.
It's my favorite part of the country. I mean, the
mist, the mountains, the winding
Sabi,
roads.
Leidenberg, hazy view, Graspop. I mean, come on.
No, there's plenty.
And there's a lot to see as well in terms of history and that. So, you know, if you want to go, I haven't been there in ages, and apparently Pilgrim's Rest has really gone downhill.
We used to go to Pilgrim's Rest as a family when we were kids, often. And it was
They say it's a bit of a dive now. Hey?
We passed through there a couple of years ago, and it's not looking
that's a pity.
Too good. Because
That's
I mean,
a crying shame.
You know, we got excited because as kids, you know, there were stories, there was history, there was, you know.
Jock of the Bushveld.
Exactly. I mean, you watch Jock of the Bushveld and then you go,
yes,
exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, God's Window, Bork's Luck, the waterfalls in the area, exactly. Angel Falls, Sabi Falls. I mean, it's just, there's fantastic, beautiful, beautiful scenery there. And especially if you can take time out to enjoy and appreciate nature. And many of them have got just this little hike up to the waterfall, and you go and then you see the splash pool and you take a couple of photos, waltz back down, have a picnic down there.
Yeah.
And you can do it.
Picnic.
Everybody is so friendly and everybody's just there for the same reason.
Yeah.
So chill.
Yeah. But please don't pick up hitchhikers.
No, don't pick up hitchhikers. No. And yes, be wary of the people that are closer to the parking areas. You know, so do make sure that your vehicle is locked and that your stuff is, because they're opportunistic and they know that it's a tourist spot.
Yeah,
so they're not necessarily going to go for the people, but they're going to go for, you know, the cars. And I've heard of a couple of
stories
like that.
And you're likely to lose sight of just putting away valuable stuff when you're on holiday.
Yeah.
You quickly want to, maybe someone is pressed and you pull in quickly, you forget your phone on the
safety is a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah, just be aware.
Be vigilant. That's all you need to do, is just be vigilant. Just because you're out of Joburg doesn't mean that there aren't some unscrupulous people out there looking to do you in. But, you know, you can still enjoy your holiday without having to panic about and fret about everything.
Slap yappies with achterset.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
those people just like to sleep on you. I've got this friend. That guy is a sleeper of note.
Just gets into a car and can just switch off and go to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, we took our family down to Durban.
Yeah.
20 minutes into the trip. Okay, first 5-7 minutes he was on WhatsApp, and I clapped him. I clapped him because I did warn him. We always have a fight about this.
Yeah.
And then he switched off, and then he switched his brain off,
and he slept.
Yeah.
Boom.
I'm like, okay, pull over. Come, one of my kids or my wife must come sit with me. This dude is just on another.
No, exactly. Yeah, because you can. You know, if somebody's driving and you're on a road trip, I think there's protocol to being good.
Fellow driver.
Shotgun kind of passenger.
Actually just shared something now on Twitter, and everybody in the car has a responsibility.
Absolutely.
It's your job as the co-pilot to point things out and to make sure you know what's coming up, and to be the one who's on Google looking for all the cool information to feed the rest of the party. And I think it's always nice being in a vehicle where there's somebody who knows a little bit about where you're going or what you're passing through.
You've got the driver.
Yes.
And his responsibility there is to drive.
Yeah.
Correct.
To focus on the road.
Yep.
And not to kill everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay?
Please.
Pretty much.
Stay very important. Yeah.
Stay awake.
Shotgun.
Yes.
All right. Shotgun has to stay awake. Needs to have some mad DJ skills.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you how we kept that.
And needs to navigate like his life depends on
it. On it, yeah.
He needs to be on the money. And any of this left, I mean right, dude, you relegate it into backseat where you become snack distributor in chief.
Yes.
Okay.
Can we just pause there for 2 seconds?
Just to I'm going to wrap this one up. Okay. When he's in the back seat, he also needs to remind the people in front that bathrooms exist.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he needs to catch up on sleep, and he needs to nap like a boss. All right. That's the back seat.
What goes into the cooler box in the car?
Or in the car?
Yeah, in the car.
Look, boiled eggs, boys. Boiled eggs.
Boiled eggs and meatballs.
And little crispy bacon bits.
Look, there's got to be water, biltong.
Yeah, biltong's the standard. Yeah,
biltong, come on. It's not a road trip without biltong.
And some gum, because after people sleep for a little while, when they wake up, they don't smell too good.
Yeah, morning breath. Morning breath at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Nap breath.
Well, I mean, when during rule breaking days, there'd be beer, obviously.
Yes.
Mm. But then the cops, the law doesn't allow that anymore.
But you know what? You say that, I came back just now. When they had these party buses and stuff on the highway, the open top buses, you know how I saw boozing in there.
Yeah.
Now, is that not illegal?
Yeah.
And why don't they get pulled off? So what's the difference between, you know,
open
being in a party bus or being in a party car where the driver's, you know, stone cold sober, but the rest of you are...
Yeah, I think, because I don't know. Look, when we did these SABC tours with all these celebs, just like, it was like a mobile bottle store.
But that's the thing. When you get into a bus, you know, if you're going on a, like, you know...
Is that illegal still when... To drink.
We'd actually have to take a look at it. I would be, as far as I know, an open container in a moving vehicle is not allowed. Yeah.
Open container.
Of alcohol.
Of alcohol, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a bit of a bummer.
If it's in the car and it's closed, then it's not a train smoke.
Yeah, I'm out of water, biltong.
Yeah, no, water, biltong.
Some snacks.
Couple of snacks, yeah. Wine gums.
We were driving to Botswana and we had this 16-seater Quantum that's pulling this 4x4 trailer. You know one of those?
Yes.
So you can't really go very fast.
No.
And this guy, he either talks, drives, or when he just drives, he tends to lose it a little bit. Like, as in, he'll be pushing this poor car onto like 160. Or he'll be trying something stupid. So once in a while, we'd like take turns. He's like Khlatkop, like this. Yes, he's very dark. But by the time we got to the Botswana border, his head was a Roy.
Sunblock, China.
Yeah, no.
When you're driving,
well, it's just a club block.
Have you ever been on a long trip and then you get out and your one car's
your one arm's
tanned and the other one
driver tanned?
Yeah, the driver tanned, you know, proper.
You rock it like all the daddies on, you know, Toti Beach on New Year's.
That red sleeve.
Yeah, one red sleeve.
Jesus. All right, chaps, listen, we're going to go to a little bit of a break. And when we come back, we going to chat about the Suzuki launch that Chad was on. Yeah. And I think what we can do, we'll carry on the conversation. We'll look at how tech and road tripping kind of fit together.
Tie them all together.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize rod,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, Benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, we're back on ya. And car news and reviews. Chad, you were lucky enough to be invited to the launch of the Suzuki Baleno GLX last week.
Suzuki Baleno, yes.
Lovely. The first question I ask you is, Suzuki is Japanese.
Correct.
Baleno sounds Italian.
It does sound Italian.
Baleno. No, the Baleno
is it ba or is it bo? Is it B-O-B-A?
B-A.
Baleno.
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 Baleno. You say Baleno, it sounds very Italian.
It does, hey?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nameplate that has been used on Suzuki's in the past and that, but this is now a different model, but they're just reissuing the nameplate.
I wonder what it means.
Actually, I haven't got a clue. I really don't.
It's probably some little animal.
So, tell us a little bit about this car.
So it's a new car for Suzuki, and it's coming in as, once again, compact hatchback, but it's not replacing the Suzuki Swift.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. So they've still got the Suzuki Swift. This is a slightly more grown-up hatchback for those that feel a Swift is possibly a little too edgy or doesn't quite suit their needs. And it's the one downfall of the Swift. It doesn't have a boot. It's just got a second glove box in the back. It's minute, and that's why they've got the Desire as well. You get the Swift Desire, which is the sedan one. And every time I see one, I'm still quite surprised that somebody actually bought one, because it's not an attractive vehicle. It's a great car, drives great, but it's not an attractive vehicle. The styling, the proportions are all out. But that is all addressed now with the Baleno. Now, they've got the Sias as well, which is their compact sedan.
Yes.
And the Sears was a car that really, really impressed me. One or two little shortcomings, but for the price, and I mean, you're looking at 225,000 Rand for a brand new sedan.
Sure.
1.4 naturally aspirated motor, the K14B motor. It's not going to win races. I've said this before about the Suzuki 1.4. But it's a very, very good motor. And that, for me, sadly, was one of the downsides of the Baleno as well, because the Baleno was coming in as this hatch to bridge the gap sort of past Swift, before Sears and possibly before your Vitaras and the SX4 and that. And it was supposed to be coming out of the 1 liter turbocharged motor. And people were getting very, very excited about the fact that it had this new little 3-cylinder 1 liter turbocharged motor. And South Africa's not getting it. We're only getting the 1.4, which is, frankly, a bit disappointing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. And I mean, if you want to see what this vehicle looks like and see how it rides, Chad actually does a fantastic review of it. It is on our the Auto Trader YouTube page.
End of last week.
And you put that up last week. Yeah. So I mean, it's hot on the press, really.
Yeah, really, really hot. The launch was Thursday. The video was out Friday. So, you know, we really got it out nice and quick. We flew down, we filmed the launch, and we filmed it out in PE. So some of the beautiful coastal roads out in PE.
I mean, where was that road that you were driving? Because that would be the perfect road tripping road, it looked like.
PE. It was just south of PE. Yeah,
so making your way down.
Just coastal and just sort of stuck with that one.
Absolutely
and really
spectacular.
Did it handle the wind? Because there's a friend of mine who drives a Jimny.
Yeah.
And he says the wind.
Oh, yeah, but listen, the Jimny drives around on stilts. So, yeah. No, the Baleno handles it beautifully. The Baleno, it's actually got a brand new chassis, which is lighter. So I think it comes in at 915 kilograms. I'm actually just going to pull the exact numbers here quickly. Sorry, just
so while you're doing that, I'll tell you now, the meaning of the Italian word Baleno is
Baleno.
Yeah, flash or lightning. Did you also look it up?
Yeah.
Check it here. Are you sharp?
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
You guys couldn't find out what the weight
was. So Japanese named a car after an
Italian lightning bolt.
But I'm sure it's got some Japanese meaning.
I don't know.
Probably not. But the thing is, this what makes the Baleno a little bit special here, and don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it because it doesn't have that 1 litre motor. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's got the 1.4 litre motor, and that is, it's a great motor. It really is. It's, like I said, it's not going to win races. You're getting 68 kilowatts and 130 newton metres, so it's hardly going to tow a Fenta trailer either. But for carting you and your luggage...
Even a Fenta?
it's a euphemism. It's a euphemism, tips. And... but for you and your luggage and your passengers and that, it's really not going to battle. It's a great commuter car. And you drive it nicely. It's going to give you – you don't even have to drive it nicely. You just have to drive it, and it's going to give you 5.1 litres per 100.
Sure.
You drive it nicely, and I'm pretty sure that it's going to give you less than that, you know, like 4.9 or somewhere around there. The one thing, it is properly frugal. So if you are concerned about the running costs and that
– what's frugal? You mustn't speak deep English.
Frugal, very cost effective, okay. You know, cheap to run.
Because I hear I'm thinking fruit.
Well, fruit, yeah.
So it's actually for your students.
No. It's
no, not at that.
The students are more going to go for the Swift. This is now for the for the moms, dads that are looking for something that is cost effective, cheap to run, but offers a little more space, is a little more practical, and they've sort of outgrown the need or the want and desire for a really sporty little hatchback. Yeah. They've like, I don't really have anything to prove, but I need to show that I'm a little more mature and sophisticated and possibly need to give that appearance of, I mean, that's it. I mean,
It's not the ugliest looking vehicle.
No, it's not ugly. The back end's a little uninspired. Yes. I like the front end design.
Yeah, I think the front end design looks
quite tidy.
Nice, yeah.
It's got a sophisticated look to it. And I think they're pitching to a slightly older audience here, slightly more sophisticated, more business-orientated market, you know. So you need to be able to pitch up at a meeting or at a client or something of the sorts, and they need to look at you and say, oh, that lighty. They're not wanting that. They're wanting, oh, okay, here comes Joe Soap or whatever, you know. Yeah. A slightly more... I don't want to say respectable, but a
mature.
Mature. That's
what was the interior like?
Interior, actually very nice. They've done wonderful things there. But and I'm going to talk about it, but I'm going to go back to, we were talking the names and origins and that sort of stuff, because that's a very important part of this car, believe it or not. The weight, we're looking at 915 kilograms. Curb weight.
Yeah.
So this thing is properly light. It's got a new chassis.
Yeah.
It's lighter, which means that it's more economical, and it performs better. But it drives like a nice, big, solid car.
Sure.
So I was pleasantly surprised with it. Really did drive nice. Interior space, fantastic. Great interior space. They've got height-adjustable seats on it. The rest of the trimmings, when you consider the pricing, you can understand the trimmings.
Yeah, okay.
So it does have a considerably plastic-trimmed interior, but the plastics feel of a decent quality.
Yeah.
And they're actually well bolted together. And surprisingly so, and I say surprisingly so, is because those of you that don't particularly know too much about the Suzuki brand, Suzukis are predominantly produced in two countries. You get your Suzuki, Japanese Suzuki, and then you get Maruti Suzuki, which is produced in India. And the Maruti Suzuki generally have produced a lot of the emerging market offerings, entry-level vehicles, and those that are looking for it will be able to notice a difference between a Maruti Suzuki and a Suzuki. You know, in terms of the build quality and the way it's pieced together, it reflects in the price as well. So if you go for the Maruti Suzuki offerings, and that's the likes of the 1.2 and the Desire and that, you can notice that maybe the trim level isn't quite on point. It's not exactly where it needs to be. And if you compare it to its bigger 1.4 or 1.6 brothers, and especially in the Swift, you notice, okay, there is a difference in the build quality, and it drives slightly differently. You know, there's a... almost like there's just that Japanese precision that's been added to, you know, the Japanese-built ones.
Yeah.
This is the first Indian-built Suzuki that has been cleared for export to Japan.
Sherbet. Okay.
Hmm.
So that is how high the quality is, and it really is. It's a Japanese... It may as well be a Japanese one. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them. But, I mean, I'm being really motor journalist about it, and I'm really splitting hairs.
Yeah.
The average consumer is not going to notice the difference.
Yes.
The overall standard is that high that you're not going to notice the difference. It's not glaring. You just need to actually really pay attention to small, tiny little details and pick it apart to be able to tell that difference.
Yeah.
And I think this is pretty decently priced. It doesn't have too much competition, especially when you consider the space that it offers, the great fuel consumption. The interior, let's just go back to the interior there quickly. New gauge cluster in it, so beautifully blue stylized. Nice LCD display in the center.
Is that standard on that vehicle?
Standard, okay, standard. Nice. Yeah, so you get it in two different trims.
Yes.
You get it in the GL and the GLX.
Okay.
So the GLX is slightly better equipped, but this is standard across both of them. And it's going to give you great readouts in terms of your economy and your fuel consumption range and, you know, your usual sort of trip computer, and a nice power indicator that shows you how much torque and power you're using, which is seems like it may, okay, well, that's just a novelty. As soon as I've seen them go around once or twice,
yes,
then yay. But no, it gives you an idea of how you can monitor your throttle use,
yes,
and, oh, you know, for the most efficient driving. Yeah. If you know how to use it, it's actually very effective.
Yeah.
I've also included with a double DIN touchscreen interface for infotainment.
Oh, okay, fantastic. So you can which was plug one in
of the,
and play.
What was one of the areas that Suzuki had always been a little behind on, yeah, in the times in bringing in something that they added Bluetooth and that, but they didn't really have a proper infotainment in that.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is that you can connect it to your phone, and then you can use your Waze or your Google Maps or whatever of the sort.
Yeah.
Through, but unfortunately, you need to download a couple of apps to your phone before it will chat to the.
Okay.
All right. You know, so it's not just a straight plug and play.
Plug and play. Okay. All right.
You need to download a, you know, one of the radios app, and then it'll communicate and it'll share files, okay, and you can play, cool, media.
But all in all, it sounds like a really, really decent
really
ride.
Nice car, nice really car. Nice car. Here is drum roll shocker. And we're not going to hover on this too long, but we're just going to wax a little bit about it. Pricing for the Baleno.
Yes.
The 1.4 GL is only offered with a manual gearbox, a,
okay,
5-speed manual. That goes for 199,900. Hmm. So call it 200,000 rand.
Yeah.
That's brand new. And you're looking at a 4-year, 60,000 kilometer service, oh, plan. And I believe it's a 300,000 kilometer warranty on all of these. Yes. 300,000 kilometer warranty on all of these. So that's not bad money. 200. The GLX with the manual gearbox is 229,900. So call it 230 there. Okay. But that one's also offered with a 4-speed automatic. So if you want an auto option, it
there is
there.
One, yeah.
It's nothing it fancy, dual clutch, yeah, or anything. It's a nice traditional torque converter automatic, and that goes for 245.
Okay, so you're in for 245.
Which puts it on point, because, I mean, if you take a look, next up you're going to go Vitara. And the Vitara starts bottom in GL trim,
yeah,
262.
Sure, okay.
Okay. The thing is, there's a little bit of an overlap, because for 223, you can get yourself in a 1.4 GLS manual Swift.
So GLS.
GLS, yeah. So, and that's pretty much the same as your GLX sort of trim level. And so there is a little bit of an overlap. If you go with a Swift Sport, it's going to be 265. So, you know, that's considerably higher than your most expensive Baleno.
Yeah.
But you're getting the 1.6 motor, but that's the really racy one. The Sears, well, you can pick up a Sears, believe it or not, for $5,000 cheaper.
Sure.
If you go for the same sort of trim, GLX with a manual transmission. So $5,000 is going to give you a boot.
Yeah.
If you want the hatch, it's going to cost you $5,000 more. So I think it's competitively priced there. There's not too much that it's actually going up against.
Yeah.
Really going to struggle to find some competition there. And I think it's got a wonderful spot in the market.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for that, Chad. And like we said, that video is on our YouTube channel, yes, so go and check it out. I watched it.
Go and drive a little. If you're in the market, go and drive a little Suzuki. Consider them. You really do need to consider them.
Yeah.
In terms of value for money,
yeah,
I can't recommend
fuel
them.
Fuel efficiency, economy, that's
exactly,
fantastic.
Exactly, yeah. No, the running. And just the enjoyment, hey?
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable car to drive.
Fantastic,
yeah.
Fantastic. Cool, guys. Well, you know, we're not wrapping up just yet, but we don't have too much time. This hour always flies by really, really quickly.
Properly quick.
So what I wanted to do is... this
on Auto Central.
Cool, fantastic. Let's talk tech quickly. Road trip technology.
Yes.
What are you taking with you in your vehicle that's going to help you to do everything that you need to do?
GPS, bro.
That's it.
Yeah. Nothing else.
And would that be run off of what? Your phone?
Yeah,
I think the phone is the ultimate road trip companion.
Yeah.
You keep with the right apps.
With the right apps, yeah. It really is. Yeah. So, you know,
now,
A, you can mount it because it can be your dash cam if you've got the right kind of app.
Yeah, just in terms of your battery usage and storage and that sort of stuff, you know, so you need a dash cam app.
Yeah, okay.
You're not just going
No, you need a dash cam app. But then you've got your maps. You've got your music.
Record everything, man. It's nice.
No, I think if you're on a road trip, you've got to record as much as you can.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Sometimes it's best left as a memory because you can romanticize it later on and it becomes a fond memory. You keep on watching it, you forget a lot of the other little things and you only remember what was in that video. And how often are you actually going to go back and watch that video if it's 9 hours long?
You watch probably 10 years later.
Or just the clips of it.
Yeah, little clips, little clips. I would say phone.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely the phone with
a charging
cable.
Yeah.
Okay, so a connecting cable, a 12-volt socket charger as well, because sometimes just the USB out, or there's not enough USBs and you want to put, you know, a music USB in or something of the sort. I'm tired of the music on the phone, let's change it up. Or you want one of your friends. They've loaded music onto a USB. Let's bang your tunes. Let's have something different.
Yes, yeah.
And then a suction cradle for the phone.
Yeah.
I have started. I went and got one. It was a little bit slightly more expensive one, but it's a fantastic quality and I can use it one-handed if really need to.
Yeah.
So I can just pop the phone in. It's not sitting there and struggling with it and clipping and ratchets and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Puts it up there, and if I want to, I can angle it to myself and I can film myself driving if I want to chat or I want to send something down the way, and plugged into the car, constantly got power, and there it is. That
and with
cradle.
Siri, you know, voice control, you can, you know, you don't actually need to touch your phone. Yeah. So
now you want lots of fun. If you're traveling in a fairly populated area or area that's got decent coverage, you need to take a look at. I haven't tried myself, but I believe Deezer and AHA Radio. These are now music apps for streaming music. So, you just, some cars are actually compatible with these apps as well.
Yes.
Mm. Mazda, for instance, compatible with AHA. So, you connect the car, you give it permission, the car and the app on the phone, and then you can control the app through the steering wheel controls.
Sure.
So, you want to skip the song, you skip. No ad breaks.
Yes.
You pick, I'm looking for 90s alternative, I'm looking for millennium hot hits, I'm looking for 70s rock and roll. You go and pick the station that you want, and it's just going to play that. A variety. Crystal clear.
All the
through
time.
Your sound system.
Because there's nothing worse than traveling, and you're into a really cool song, and the next thing is like, you know, because you've hit the free state. It's a pain in the ass.
Now, it'll play the whole song through for you,
yes.
But it may not play the next song if you're sitting there and you're missing out on a little bit of connectivity.
That's why I say
it works a little better in the centers, or if you're traveling in a populated spot that's got decent coverage, you know. Then it's
but then I think, you know, have a decent kind of playlist on your phone as well, so that when you do hit those
make
kind
a new
of...
One.
Yeah, make a new
Each
one.
Each and every trip, make a new one. Because, I mean, I think the day of making a compilation CD for the car, Durban Trip 2003, is, you know...
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is, go back to that Durban Trip 2003, Matric Holiday 99 or whatever it is, and go and put that CD in again. It was the mixtape of the generation.
Mm.
And you sit there and you put it in.
Reminisce.
And all those memories come flooding back.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes it's nice. You find an old CD stashed somewhere and you put it in. You go, oh, I remember this song. Jeez, love.
Because that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's about creating memories. Because that's the one thing that money cannot buy you.
Yeah, true.
Is memories.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, guys, you know, another fantastic show. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't play with your phone in the car. I'm going to drum that home.
It can wait.
Yeah, it can wait.
That can wait.
That can wait. Ben's up next with the Bounce show. And he's he's looking, he's got a big smile on his face. And I think we know the reason why.
Purchase
absolutely does. You know, they gave the Aussies a fat one. So
sorry,
it's always nice
did
to beat the
your thunder?
Aussies. No, we didn't. Yeah, so guys, thanks very much. Keep it safe. Remember to go and check out the Chad's review on Auto Trader's YouTube channel and follow us at Auto Central, at Auto Trader SA, hashtag Auto Central.
Catch me tonight at 10 o'clock on SABC3. I didn't say that.
Can't plug yourself on the show.
Sorry, Mitchell.
Okay, on that note.
I didn't say it. Didn't
cheers,
say
guys.
It.
Have a good week. Ciao, bye-bye.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrol head. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show. Or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour. Powered by Auto Trader.
CliffCentral.com.